Welcome, everyone. It's Parkside Today, featuring conversation and interesting discussion with members of the UW Parkside Learning Community. I'm John Melke, Director of Strategic Communications. It's my pleasure to welcome UW Parkside Associate Professor of Theater Arts, Jody Sikas, Assistant Professor of Theater Arts and Head of Acting, Brian Gill, and Theater Arts Student and Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival Regional Winner, Zach Young. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us on Parkside Today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with a general question for those who may not know. What is Kennedy Center? We'll just call it KCA-CTF. And how did Parkside get involved in KCA-CTF?
KCA-CTF, which is the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, it's a national organization offhand, I can't think of it, but it's a national organization, and there are 8 regions within the United States. We're in Region 3, which is the most active of the 8 regions. There are 2,000 participants per year in our region, and it is Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
Okay.
So it's colleges and universities from throughout those 5 states participate in this regional festival.
Mm-hmm. And Jody, were you the person who started for that got Parkside involved in KCA-CTF?
I was not. I was by the time I arrived here at UW Parkside, it was already fairly active. Participation in the festival started probably around 2002, and primarily it was all actors who participated at that time. And then in 2009, when Misty Bradford came here, started involving the design, technology, and management students in the festival activities and in the competitions. She herself, as an undergrad and graduate student, had gone to the Kennedy Center twice as a regional winner and was an active participant in KCA-CTF, and so she wanted to bring that same thing here to UW Parkside. So in 2009, besides just the actors participating in the Irene Ryan acting competition, the designers, technicians, and stage managers began. And in that first year, she said there were only 3 students in the design, technology, and management who went, and the prop person wound up winning the first ever Stagecraft Institute of Las Vegas award that was ever given.
Right.
And since then, we've won that. Our students have won that 3 times in recent years. But Parkside was also the first.
Right. Excellent. And Brian, from your perspective, how do you view KCA-CTF?
I think it's any time you can work your craft and showcase it and then perform it for a group of professionals, I think it's a great experience for the student actors.
Mm-hmm. And how do the students react to it? And I want to get into this with Zach a little bit, but the students that you're working with, is it something they look forward to, or they say, oh, here, that's out there, and I'm preparing for that, or how do they view that?
Yeah, I think it's viewed kind of in a combination, and I partly because I try to encourage it to just show their best work as opposed to I must come home with some sort of prize. You know, part of their job is to obviously represent themselves well, but also to show what we're working on here at Parkside and the kind of training that they're receiving here. So I think it's, I think they look forward to it. I think they also, there's a healthy amount of trepidation. It's pretty intense. You are given a limited amount of time. You're in front of a room full of people, and then there's a panel of very important looking people furiously writing notes while you're performing, you know, so I think it's good. It's intimidating, but you know, that's something that actors need to learn how to deal with.
So Zach, as a person who not only participated in KCA-CTF, but you are a regional winner, and you are going to the national competition in Washington, D.C., correct?
Yes.
And so how did those people who were furiously writing things down, how did that appear to you as a person who is participating as a competitor?
So for our presentations, they don't usually write so much as they just stare at you for the time that you talk. And sometimes one of them might chime in, but usually after about a minute when you give, which is all the time you have to give your initial presentation, there's a feedback session. And from there, then it becomes hopefully a conversation where they take and they will get different parts and they give you feedback on, oh, I wish you would have done that, added this, or I really like that part.
Mm-hmm.
But for about a minute, you talk without them interrupting, and you just hope that you're saying everything that you need to. Because if you miss something, sometimes they point that out, and then you get to add it back in. But it's, I always look forward to KCACTF, but also I kind of dread it every time. And so it's a odd mixture, but in the end, I always enjoy it.
Right. And what are you looking forward to, or what's the, are you dreading the national competition as well, or?
I am excited out of my mind, but also I am terrified. I will be in front of a lot of important people there, and it's something where I'm so glad to get to go, and I look forward to it, and I'm preparing for it, and I can't wait, but there's always that fear behind it that something, you know, like, what if something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. What if all of a sudden I just say the wrong thing?
Right.
And it never ends up that way, but you always wonder and worry about it.
Well, tell us a little bit about your presentation and whether or not does your presentation change, or are you allowed to change it between the regional competition and the national competition?
So for the presentation, it doesn't change too much, at least for me. I prepared for my presentation. I'd spent a very long time and many countless hours working on it. And for the most part, I didn't get any feedback that they wanted to for me to change anything, that they loved how it was. They were like, oh, we wish this picture was a little bit bigger. And so for that, I might change it, and it's not changing the whole presentation, which is allowed.
Okay. And what is your presentation?
So there's many different ways to do a presentation. And when you walk around, because there's many different panels up, you can see different ways someone did it. And there are times you're like, oh, I wish I would have done that or that. But for me, I take, and for lighting, I have a light plot, which is just showing everywhere that I've hung a light in my theater, which is very important to see that you have to communicate that to people who have to then go do the work. But then also I need to show different paperwork that I've done, and also pictures of my work, showing what type of moments did I have. Did I have different types of times of day? And just showing every different detail that I had.
Mm-hmm. And for all three of you, and I don't really care who tackles this question first, but I'd like to hear all three perspectives. As a theater company and an academic department here at UW-Parkside, how do you, as faculty and as a student, balance the academic side, the teaching side, the learning side versus the performance side of the UW-Parkside Theater Company?
Well,
as they look around at each other.
I think one of the major benefits of our program is, you mentioned company and the company model, which is very much a all for one, one for all, roll your sleeves up and get the work done.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I mean, that, you know, at any given day during one of our you know, pre-production and production periods, Jody and I are painting sets or building something, or, you know, I'm the acting guy, but I'm there helping to paint backdrops or, you know, working on something that Zach probably has to redo at a later time. But so we really work to help each other out and to have each other's backs, which I think lends to a nice balance. You know, I mean, in a perfect world, there would be enough time in the day to get everything done that needs to get done, both production wise and academically. But we just work really, really hard. And we work as a company until the job is done. And then as faculty, I mean, you know, Jody and I and our other colleagues are regularly saying, no, you need to go to class, or you know it's time to go home because you're about to drop and you have other responsibilities and things like that.
Right.
And then occasionally we say that to each other as well. And then we laugh and get back to work.
And then drop. Yeah. Jody?
We were thinking about this on the way over here and didn't really come up with a great answer other than that it is the all hands on deck.
Are you suggesting
mentality.
My answer was not
great? No, I loved your answer. but it does, it's a fair question, and sometimes it is a real challenge to have a life outside of the theater. And I think it's something that people don't necessarily understand until they've been involved with it, that our students and our faculty are full-time academic professors and full-time students, mm-hmm. and then they have 4 hours to 5 hours to 8 hours a night, 5 days a week or more, working on the productions,
right.
which does not allow a lot of time for, say, outside work or a life or friends, things like that.
Yeah.
If you compare, I don't want to use that word, but if you look at the quality of our productions, we train our students. I call it a pre-professional training program. The goal is when the students graduate from here, they are ready to join the professional world in some capacity. And so our standards are very high, and it does take a lot of work to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that pays off for the students in our placement rate and the jobs that they do get immediately after graduation.
Right. And so from the student standpoint, Zach, how does that balance? And I mean, as a person who walks down the hallway and sees theater art students at work, whether it's on a weekend or whatever time at night or whatever time in the morning, I know have an appreciation for the kind of time and hours that you put in. How do you balance that as the student and the member of the company?
I would say for a student, it's a very tough balance. It's one where you have to find equal time to be a student, because that is why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to keep your grades up, go to class, but you also have to work on the show, and it has to get done. And you need to put forward quality work.
Mm-hmm.
And so to find a balance is what we all strive for. I will say it's easier usually when you're working outside of school. When we get internships in the summer, we walk in and we're like, oh, you only want us here from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. Oh, easy. Like, I don't know what to do with the other 5 hours of my day.
Yeah.
And so it's a tough balance, but it, like they said, we're a company and we all come together when something has to get done. There are many times when I'm a prop master or a technical director, and if whoever's in charge of painting, if they're still working when I'm done, I pick up a paintbrush and I go, hey, what can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's the goal that we all want to go home and get some sleep, get that homework done. And so we all come together when we need to. For a student, it's a very tough life, but it prepares you for the professional world very well.
Right. And the rate of our graduates working in the field is, what, 90-some percent?
It's 92% over the last 5 years. So that's the five-year average. 2 years ago, we had a 100%, and we'll see what comes up this year.
Yeah, very impressive, very impressive. There's, when I look at the Parkside Theater Company, I think as a person coming in, when I started here at UW Parkside a long time ago, I saw where I thought about actors and people portraying roles, but it's much more than that, right? It's the people who are doing that. It's the people who are doing the lighting. It's the set designers. It's the directors. How does all that come together? All those different roles. And how do you identify students coming in? Do they say, well, I want to be an actor, when maybe their talent lies in some other part of the theater arts process?
Right. Well, all of our theater majors, by the time they graduate, they will have put time in on sets and lights, and many of them on props and makeup.
And acting.
And acting as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that, which is just, I think, for me, that's just a smart idea. So that, ideally, your actors have an idea, you know, a concept of what's going on with sets and lights and makeup and props and sound. And it's also good for our technicians to go, oh, okay, yeah, it's this, you know, because for each side, I think it's they grow a greater appreciation and understanding of the complexities. That the technicians don't have the attitude of, well, Brian just learns a bunch of lines and stands up and we make him look good and he just, you know,
right,
vomits out somebody else's words. And, you know, Brian doesn't say, well, it's a hammer and nails. What's the big deal, right? Or right, just turn the light on, things like that. You know, yeah. So it's nice to level the playing field. And it's also, again, getting back to the idea of pre-professional training. We've had actors that have gotten gigs over the summer building sets, and we've had we've had a few technicians that have had acting experience, enjoy their acting experience, have picked up, you know, they've gotten a technician job, and a director has said, "Hey, you act a bit, don't you?" And they've said, "Well, yep." Yeah. And then they've ended up with a professional acting credit as well. So the ability to be able to jump back and forth between the technical side and the acting side is really helpful. And you know, years ago, I was working professionally as an actor. I was in between contracts. I really didn't want to go back to my lovely day job. And I went to the company manager of the theater company I was acting with, and I said, "Hey, I don't have anything going on after this contract. I'm pretty handy. Is there anything backstage I can help with?" And I ended up, you know, kind of doing a little bit of everything for about a year.
Right.
You know, while working some other jobs and while doing some other acting gigs, they just kept me on because I was, you know, I didn't break anything and I had a rudimentary knowledge of some of the technical aspects. So it's, you know, any job in the theater for our majors is better than pouring coffee or, you know, schlepping drinks.
Right, because any job is a foot in the door, which is what happens with a lot of our majors. They graduate and they may find work in the technical side, and that is where they meet the directors, and that's how they get their foot in the door and their name recognized for auditions. So it works out really well to be multifaceted, and that's something that we really strive toward and expect of our students here.
And it gives them a broader appreciation for a perspective of the entire industry. Is that?
I would say from a student perspective, that's very true, where I'm very involved in technical theater, and that's what I want to do. But I've been cast in a show, which gave me a much greater understanding of what an actor goes through on stage. That when you need that door to open, that door has to open. It can't kind of, you can't be there like wiggling this door back and forth. You need to take in, from a building perspective, you need to take and make it so it works for the actor, that it works when it's supposed to. And so it gives you a greater appreciation. Even though I'm not a good actor, I don't want to go into acting, I'm glad I did it. And so it really helped me out, and I got to see all of the technical at work as well.
And maybe we've been touching on it here the last few minutes or so, but from the student standpoint, what was it about UW Parkside that interested you, motivated you to want to come here?
Well, I'm originally a transfer student, and so a couple of the faculty actually came down to see one of the shows I was in when I was cast, and a show that I worked on, and they talked to us and they recruited a couple of us from the school to come over. And that was something to me that they came down and saw our work and talked to us. That was big to me. That actually helped me get here to just look at what they had. And so I got to know Jody and Misty and other technical people, and I realized it's a company, it's a group of people that have come together to do one job, which is what I was looking for. That's what I want, is just we're all in this together. And that my professors are people that know vast knowledge that I wanted to know as well. And so there were people I wanted to learn from, and it was a group of people that all collaborated really well together. And so that's one reason why I came here.
And Jody, I'll go over to this side. They can't see here in the studio because it's radio, but go over to this side of the room. What do you hear when students are coming here looking at Parkside for the first time? What kinds of things do they talk about or are they looking for or interested in?
A lot of them, a lot of them come here because of the quality of our productions. So we've earned a reputation over the years of having very high standards and production quality, and also that we're small. We're a program that's capped at 65 students. And so you get a lot of individual one-on-one attention. So we're not a giant, like 150 undergraduate, 50 graduate student program. Also that we have no graduate program in theater means that the undergraduates actually get the experience,
right.
Which they may not at a larger school.
Right.
So the size really works for us. And the quality, the placement rate, the parents like, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think part of our strength is our faculty and staff that, having taught at other institutions, I really found my home here at Parkside when I started here, I guess 6 years ago. And the faculty and staff here, a great many of them are professionally active. So rather than having done it in the past and relying on what they knew, they are current with everything that's going on. We work professionally in the field, in either in our summers or sometimes overlapping in the school year, which is a whole challenge unto itself. But yeah, working in Milwaukee and Chicago, California, I recently did a job in Oregon. And so having those professional connections really makes a difference to the incoming students and their parents who are wanting to know, okay, so what can you do with a theater degree?
Right.
And through that, we've actually established a good handful now of internship agreements. So we have an internship agreement with American Players Theater, with Pacific Conservatory Theater, what's the opera company in Utah, Zach? Oh, Utah Festival Opera. Chicago Shakespeare.
The Shakespeare Project.
Shakespeare Project of Chicago. And so these are companies that, because we have had students working with them, and they also, because they know our faculty and staff, they trust us and have arranged these agreements where they will look at Parkside students first for their internships, because they know they can expect good quality, hardworking, talented people.
Right.
So it's things like that that I think set us apart and are attractive to the incoming students also. Yeah.
Brian, do you have something to add to that? Or
I think Jody said it really well. I mean, I think that's a really important part of any program, but definitely an important part of our program is the fact that, you know, at any given summer or sometimes during the semester, Jody is also working professionally. Jody's working with doing a set for First Stage, and Misty's going to be spending the summer at American Players Theater, or I'm acting at Chamber Theater, or something like that. Because there is a real difference. I don't know, Zach, you could probably chime in on this, of the difference between, you know, for example, my undergrad, when all of the professors, at least the ones that I spent most of my training with, hadn't been on a professional stage in a few decades, telling me as a training actor how to get acting jobs. And, you know, and I mean, at least for a much younger me, that was a terrible formula. And it was very difficult for me to take some things seriously.
Right.
Because I was out working during the summer and learning one set of things.
Yeah.
And then I'd come back and I'd be told stuff that was anathema to what I was actually experiencing.
Right.
So I think any time one of our students can see us working professionally, I think it's a really good thing. It's a win-win.
No, go ahead, Zach. Jump in.
I would say, as far as on the whole topic of working professionally and internships, our program is very good about that. They really work with you and support you getting internships in the summer. And it gives you a broader perspective of the whole community of theater as a whole. That it's not just us in Wisconsin, but there's California, there's New York, there's you know, Indianapolis, places all across the country, and you get a different perspective because every theater will work a little bit differently, and you get to learn their view, and maybe we take something from there and bring it back here and to make our program even better.
Mm-hmm.
And so our professors are very good about helping us do that as well. Is that if you want to work for an internship program, they will do everything they can to help you find one and work with you on that.
I'm going to chime in with a humble brag. Last summer, 50% of our majors and minors had internships in theater, and so I've challenged our students this year to make that higher than 50% this summer to see, let's see what happens. But it's great having that experience. So sophomores through seniors, generally, we really push them to have internships and get that outside experience.
Right. Yeah, interesting. So there's a future goal, increase the number of students in the company with the internships. And I, with the Digital Design Center, and I hope I'm describing that correctly, and if I've used that wrong, Jody can correct me there, but I'm interested in what each of you sees as the future. You know, where does theater go? I was talking with a person a couple of weeks ago in Madison at the Makerspace that was talking about the virtual reality and how that could play into theater set design, that you could actually see what walking through that door that you talked about that has to open, what that looks like before the door is even there. What does the future look like for theater design and also for just the entire process of learning the craft?
I will tackle that one. In terms of, well, this is a broad question, but in terms of that virtual reality, it's interesting. I'm a member of the United States Institute of Theater Technology and have been for, 25 years. And so there was a lot of research done in that area 15, 20 years ago. And I think there might be a resurgence in the interest in it, which is why you've heard about it recently. Mm. But yeah, that started a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then the 3D visualization of sets, I've taught conference workshops on that 10, 12 years ago. And it's something that I'm really interested in that visualization, computer-generated scenery, and then being able to do a walkthrough for the director of, okay, this is, and the actors, this is what the space is going to look like and feel like.
Sure.
And I find that really interesting, and I enjoy teaching that and implementing that as part of my process when I'm able. The thing that we are starting here at UW Parkside is the Digital Design and Fabrication Lab, which involves the automation of fabrication of things. That sounded very vague and broad.
We need a cooler name for it.
I like digital design and fabrication.
Call it the Fab Lab.
The Fab Lab.
The
yeah.
Fab Lab.
I like that.
We have that equipment and we're starting a certificate program, and that's being headed by myself, and I'm the head of Scenic and Lighting Design and Technology in the Theater Arts Program, and Trenton Baylor, who is the sculpture professor in the art department.
Mm-hmm.
And when people found out that we were starting the Fab Lab, some people were curious why, but it turns out that a great deal of theater, especially on the professional level,
yeah.
is the construction of it and fabrication is done digitally. So things like CNC routers and mills and vinyl cutters and laser cutters, those are all used in the production of scenery and costumes
yeah.
for theater. And so it's something that I have a background in and I'm really excited to get into. And more it's starting to bleed from professional theaters as the training gets easier and as the cost of equipment becomes lower, just as with anything, it's not just professional theaters anymore. And so more and more it is going to all different types of theater. We'll be adopting this probably within the next 20 years. And so I'm really excited to be able to train our students in the use of this equipment alongside their design abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just for theater and art, but it's also for entrepreneurs and business people and people in physics. And so it's going to be great to offer this around the campus. But it started as this idea between Trenton and I because it is so used in our particular industries.
Excellent. Well, as in any good theater production, right? If time flies and you don't realize how fast time has gone by, that's probably means you're having fun. It's a good thing. And the time for our show has flown by very quickly. Brian, Zach, Jody, I very much appreciate you being here on Parkside today.